let's open our hearts wide as we receive God's gift. His servant, Apostle Joshua Selma, to claim the word of the counter tonight.
Lives will never be the same in the name of Jesus. I pray, oh God, that tonight let there be hearing of faith and the working of miracles. Change our lives and be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Please be seated. Let me start tonight by communicating my love and my honor first for your pastor and his dear wife and this church. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you so much, sir.
God bless you.
Hallelujah. Yesterday, we began to talk on prayer. And quite honestly, I have something else to share today, but I just needed to finish what we started yesterday. So let's see if we're able to finish it. Then I'll just touch a bit and then we'll pray. There's a lot to do and we have to work with the time. I'm glad that the requests are here. If by any means you are yet to write your own, I think there should still be room to just write and then quickly drop it here. Hallelujah. Praise God. One scripture and then we'll finish from where we left off yesterday. Psalm 65 and verse 2. That was our text yesterday. Let's use King James, KJV. It says, "Unto thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come." And I began to explain to us yesterday how that the priestly ministry of believers require prayer. That the Bible says we have been made unto our God kings and priests, and that we reign in the earth. And that prayer is a necessity for all men. Jesus said his house would be called the house of prayer. And we began to look at a few reasons why we should pray. Let me just run through it if you are not here yesterday. Number one, we agreed that we are commanded to pray. Luke 18:1, he spake a parable to the end that men ought always to pray. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Number two, that we pray because it is one of the strategies for fellowship. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 2. We can fellowship with God in prayer. Number three is a platform for growth and transformation. Luke chapter 9 from 28 and 29. That whilst Jesus was in prayer, the countenance, the fashion of his countenance was altered and his raiment became as white. And then number four, I think that's where we stopped, that prayer is a strategy for warfare and intercession. Are we still there? And this is very important. I did tell us yesterday that the dimension of warfare and intercession is a dimension that no believer is exempted from. Inasmuch as it is messy to talk about demons, inasmuch as it is messy to talk about the reality of dark powers, Scripture is not silent as to the fact that we are not alone. Scripture is not silent as to the fact that we are surrounded by demonic operations that will seek to sabotage the liberty of the saints. And so inasmuch as when it has to do with the subject of deliverance, demons, etc., there have been various versions of imbalance here and there. But we cannot afford to throw the baby and the bathwater. It is important for us to know that we are not alone. The devil will leave no stone unturned to see that he destroys our lives,
to destroy our children, to destroy everything God in our lives. And so the Bible teaches us that there are systems provided for the saints to be able to ward off the powers of darkness. It was Paul that began to teach, and he said, the weapons of our warfare, so we are in a warfare, but the weapons of our warfare, he said, that they are not carnal, man-made, but that they are mighty through God. Are we together? And then he also said that we wrestle, but it's just that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. That means when your director vows to sack you, it is not the director. The director is the body that is being used by powers beyond him. When you understand this,
you now know how to command victory. So it's very, very important. We examined. Please don't forget the revelation. I believe that there should be a way of getting the teachings. And if you can find it, please, you may want to take out time to listen. We read about the deliverance of Paul when he was caught in Acts chapter 12. The Bible says that when he began to go out, the gates were open, but he got to a particular gate called the Iron Gate. And that was the gate that opened to the city. And I told us that just because you are out of the prison does not mean you are free. He was out of the prison, but he was still within the confines of captivity until the Iron Gate. And scripture said he has broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So just do two more. Let's just rush up so that we can finish and then focus on other things. Number five, why do we pray? The Bible mandates that believers pray as a strategy to keep our faith alive. That's the fifth reason why we pray. We pray as a spiritual strategy to keep our faith alive. Luke chapter 22, please. We'll read from verse 30. Luke chapter 22, we'll read from verse 30.
We know there's more that's found in you.
I hope I got it right. Give me 32 and let me see. If we don't find it there, you're correct. Okay, so let's start from 30. This was a conversation between Jesus and the brethren, Peter being there now. And he was talking about the future when they would eat and drink at his table and sit among the tribes of Israel. 31. And the Lord said unto Simon, now watch this. He said, Simon, Satan has desired to have you. Now the context of this was that he began to talk about his death, right? His passion that would lead to his death. And Peter sincerely, please follow me. Peter sincerely was rebuking him. Don't talk about your death. He thought he was doing a good thing. Isn't it amazing that demons not only use your weakness, they use your strength. He used Peter's compassion. Satan does not only use weaknesses. He can use strength. There are many people today who have gotten into trouble because of their zeal. Zeal is not a weakness, but it can be used to kill you. There are people today who have gotten into trouble because of their love. They love God and they love men so much it has gotten them into trouble. So Satan is not only interested in your weakness, he's also interested in your strength. And in this case, he comes to Peter. If you were Jesus and you saw a man who had loved you so much and he said, no, Jesus, stop talking about death. That's positive confession. You are supposed to say, Peter, you are a good disciple. May God bless you. The other wicked people who want me to die, now I finally know those who want me to die. But Jesus said, the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan had desired to have you that he may sift you like wheat.
What was the remedy? Next verse. It says, but I have prayed for you. That your faith, so what Satan was attacking was his faith. I prayed for you that your faith fail not. And it says, when you are converted, use this same strategy to strengthen your brethren. That means Satan will come to them. And every time you look at a man whose conviction, you can know your faith is being challenged when what you believed yesterday, you are now struggling to believe again. You believed in January that the year will be good for you. And by September, it looks like he's shaking. Satan is desiring to sift you. The Bible Bible says you can go to the place of prayer and pray your way back to balance. Satan desired to sift you like wheat. We can make all our plans and our goals. In the name of Jesus, I will be this, I will be that. In the name of Jesus, I will do this and do that. And then Satan continues. Because you see, Satan is a master of the sense realm. Please understand this. His system of operation is that he uses your sensory perceptions to work on your mind. You declare that in the name of Jesus, I will not struggle with rent this year. In fact, in the name of Jesus, I will be a house owner this year. And it's wonderful while you are confessing, and it's true because prophecy has come and scripture gives allowance for you to come into this reality. But then when your rent is 1 week, 1 week old, past now, 2 weeks, 1 month, and the landlord is threatening you. You see that? Satan now, he will capitalize on that. And now begin to minister all kinds of things to you. You are a failure. If the word of God is working, why has it not worked for you? What part of the fasting did you not? You were part of the people. You came to church early and he begins to work on you. And you just sit down and say, this one that I said I would never call any man this year. Shouldn't I reconsider what I said? The Bible says whenever you get to a state where your faith is having a problem, don't go around discussing with people. Get to the secret place and pray. It's amazing how that when our faith is being perturbed, most times we consult every other person but God. We talk to people, we discuss with neighbors, we talk to enemies, we talk to friends alike, and then we leave God out. Satan has desired to sift you, but when I have prayed for you that your faith fail not, and when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. You return back home and you find your husband saying all kinds of things. Is God faithful? Look at my life. I've served him since my youth. That's not the time to say, what kind of husband did I marry? No. That's the time to say, I know that this communication is a sign that your faith is failing. Let's pray. Let's turn the plates in this house upside down and pray. We need to forget about being parents or being husband and wife. We must be priests now. Listen, you must understand when to switch. God does not need you to always act like a wife or a husband. You must know when you take away your regalia of wifehood, of husbandhood, and put on that regalia of priesthood and pray. When things are going wrong in your house, you don't just say, well, it's the way Nigeria is. There are times you need to say, no. My father and my mother have been in peace for 35 years. It is not at their 36th year of marriage that things will go haywire. And you go back and begin to pray. Say in the name of Jesus, I receive grace through the ministry of prayer to keep my faith alive. One of the ways that we culture our faith is to culture our eyes and our ears. Now, this is a message especially that our generation of young people do not want to hear. The carelessness, the sheer carelessness of exposing our eyes and our ears has become the unbecoming of many people. Now, I'm not against technology, I'm not against westernization, but we have given the devil room to shred our lives into pieces. We watch everything, we hear everything. You leave home in peace and return back something else because you were exposed to an information. Remember when God came to Adam in the Garden of Eden, the Bible says he heard the voice of God in the cool of the day. And he said, Adam, where are you? And Adam said, I heard your voice and I hid because I was naked. Next question, who told you? You have outsourced information from another agency that is not me. We have to be careful because most of the things that destroy us come from media, come from people, and so on and so forth. You used to respect your husband with all your heart until you watch a movie where a woman dealt with her husband and beat the living daylight out of him. Now, you've been exposed to an option that is not godly. And you are warming up. The devil will take advantage of that information and sponsor you to experiment it in your house. Somebody shout, no way. Guard your heart, he says, with all diligence. Culture your ears. Culture your eyes.
It's an unpopular strategy, but this is how kings are made. Hallelujah. And as we do this, let me request that in the name of Jesus, we must sustain the grace to help our children, especially our children who are growing. Don't say they are technological. Some of these are little ones. I'm happy seeing them in church. It's important. We cannot just allow them to watch and know and hear careless things. They ask you questions as a parent that you cannot sleep. You say, it's all right, it's just the way they are taught in school. No, sir. No, sir. No, sir. Out of it proceeds the issues of life. Are we together? You don't like what I'm saying? Please listen, no, because this is a very, very serious issue. Most of us continue to provide the tools that Satan will use to destroy us. There is a level of spiritual innocence that your mind must have, and it cripples Satan because the tools he will use to suggest things is not there. You have cultured your mind with the word of God. It will be difficult for him to use the word of God to kill you. But when our minds have been poisoned, when there is already a platform that sponsors bitterness and hatred, it's easy for Satan to tell you something and you believe. Why? Because your heart has already assumed that posture. I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. Because when your faith fails, you have failed.
The Bible says in this kingdom, the just lives by his faith. Are we together? The last one and then we're done. Why do we pray? Number six, prayer is a platform to make your requests and your petitions known. For many people, this is the part of prayer we know alone. You can see that it's only one over six. However, it is still there. Prayer is the authorized platform provided for by God to make our requests and our petitions known. Three scriptures very quickly, please. Mark chapter 11 and verse 24. Jesus is teaching on faith. He's teaching his disciples in one of his mentorship sessions. Please help us. Mark chapter 11 and verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, Jesus is speaking now, what things soever ye desire. So it starts with desire. It says when, not if. When. When ye pray, believe that thou receive them and thou shalt have them. So he's saying that everything you desire, do not be ashamed to bring it in prayer. Even if it is wrong, God will correct it, but take it to prayer. Listen, let me tell you this. Many times believers, our understanding of God, the Bible says anything you desire, don't be ashamed to take it to God. Even if you are wrong, and prayer is not the key for it. God is loving enough. No matter how stupid it sounds, no matter how carnal it sounds, take it to him. He is your father. Remember, when he was teaching them how to pray, he says, when you pray, approach prayer this way. Abba, Father. The revelation of Father is very important because according to scripture, the hallmark of fatherhood is the ease to give. If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts. He was talking to fathers. How much more will your heavenly Father? So when you come to God believing he is Abba, that means he is source of all things. He is the sustainer of all things. He is the defender of all things. Are we together? A platform for requests. He says, when what things soever you desire. You desire a job, take it to God in prayer. You desire promotion, take it to God in prayer. Your husband offends you, report him to God. The Bible allows it. Your wife offends you, take them to God. Your children are acting in a way as though it was an unbeliever that raised them. Report them corporately to God. Lord, behold your child that was dedicated to you. We did not teach him this, and he's bringing this. It's not consistent with our values. We cry to heaven. You see, prayer is the highest form and proof of humility. Prayer is proof that you acknowledge you are incapacitated in yourself. It is great humility when we pray. It is proof that we acknowledge our insufficiency. When people do not pray, it's not only a detriment to their spiritual life, it's a proof of self-sufficiency. And the Bible says, let us not think that we are sufficient of ourselves. It said our sufficiency is of God, who has made us able ministers. Are we together? Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Be careful for nothing, he says. The word careful there does not mean you should be careless. It's the word anxiety. Anxiety. The correct rendition there is be anxious for nothing. Are we together? But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Do not assume he understands. God is touched by your feelings, but he's moved by his word. He gave man a will. There are seven things that God gave man as the highest of his creation, and one of it is the power of choice. God will not assume you need his assistance. The Lord is nigh them that call upon him, not them that need him. Many times you will see Jesus, the express image of the Father, walk upon the earth, and when people beckoned on him, he will ask them, what should I do? In spite of the fact that Bartimaeus was blind, he still asked him, what do you want? Because it's costly to assume that he wanted his eyes open. God cannot assume that you want your family to be saved. He has his desire, but he will allow you to come in the place of prayer. Prayer legitimizes his coming to you. It legitimizes his action. Even at the expense of your eternal salvation, he will not force you to choose him. Isn't that amazing? That the most expensive thing is the salvation of the soul of man. And even at the expense of your eternal destiny, he will allow you to come on him before he comes as Savior. In spite of the fact that the substitutionary sacrifice of Christ is a done deal, there are people still going to hell today. And God is watching them go to hell as though he were powerless. Because the rule is that if thou shalt confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, then you shall be saved. It is the ordinance allocated for salvation. Not just salvation in terms of receiving the life of God. Any and all kinds of salvation. When you need help, you call upon the Lord. The police and the military in every state and every city, they have numbers that you can call. They don't assume that there is a thief in your house. They know there are thieves in Lagos, but they cannot assume they are interested in your house. But when you call them, it's proof that you need their help. Hallelujah. James chapter 4, please. Verse 2, James chapter 4. Apostle James is teaching us something now about prayer. Now watch this. It's a very interesting, when you want to understand this scripture, you have to read from verse 1 in context. We're just reading because of time. He said, ye lust and have not. That means you desire passionately. You cultivate an affinity for these results. And you do not have. You even kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and you war and you have not. And the simple reason is because you ask not. Isn't it amazing how many people's success creates trouble for others? Whereas in Christ, a great man of God says, please keep that scripture, that in Christ there are no low callings. Everyone is called to a high calling. Are we together? That means the reason why this brother succeeds is not the reason why this brother fails. In Christ, everyone can become successful. And the Bible says, because your prayer life is down and you do not know that you too have the access to approach God and make petitions and have him come through for you, in anger that you do not have those results, you can lust, you can kill, you can fight. The brothers of Joseph did not need to fight Joseph. They needed to go back to the God who gives dreams and say, Lord, where is my own? And God would have given to them. Listen, let me tell you, there is enough space for everyone to excel in Christ. Are we together now? So that you don't hear that someone just bought a car. God granted him grace and he bought a car. And suddenly that testimony creates a reaction in you, as though he stole from you to buy the car.
The same God, the same Lord is rich unto all, the Bible says. That means I can celebrate that testimony and go to the God who is the Father of all and say, Lord, I covet this kind of testimony. That was the mistake of Hannah. Although Peninnah laughed at her, but she wanted a child because she was angry at the mockery. And God said, no, come to me. I'm the God who gives children. Oh, the reason why they succeed in Lagos is because they are so tribe. That's not true. Go to the God of all flesh, and he will place something upon your life that will cause men walk to you as though you are holding a charm. There is a God in heaven who helps men. The day I found out that I had equal access to God, I developed a strange dimension of love, and I took responsibility over my destiny. Any door that refuses to open in my life, I take responsibility for it, because there is the Lord who is rich unto all. So don't you go back getting angry at your sister, angry at your brother, angry at your husband, your wife. The same Lord, please get this message, is rich unto all. The Bible says, let us come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hallelujah. It's very, very important. Let us learn to approach God. Father, thank you. I celebrate what you have done for the son of Mrs. So-so-so and so. Can you in your mercy grant me that same testimony? It's not covetousness. The same Lord is rich unto all. It is not God's will for us to be poor and broke and struggling and arguing because of money. So if God is giving someone testimonies, Lord, I come to you. Even if I'm getting it wrong, show me. And God says, okay, I recommend this book. I recommend this message. Let's start the system that builds you. You can refuse to go to God and hang up in bitterness and pain and entitlement mentality that will continue to destroy people. This is one of the biggest challenges in Africa. People cannot come to God to say, Lord, visit me too. And they wait for someone to rise, and everybody just latches onto him. And we inconvenience families, we inconvenience relatives, and get angry that they are not attending to us. Is what has brought the concept of calling every woman a witch, calling every man a wizard, calling every uncle and saying, he gave me 1,000 last year instead of 10,000. You can go to the God of all flesh and say, Lord, my uncle has been giving me money for 10 years. Would you help me so I rise too, and I can now tell him thank you? But most times we forget it. It looks cheaper to beg men. God who will never criticize you. God who will never condemn you. God who will never tear you down. But someone's life is changing in the name of Jesus. You have to learn this. Learn to go to God in prayer. People look at you and say, what kind of life is this? And you approach your father. My father. Job was a very great man. He never blamed anybody. When things went haywire in his life, he consulted with his friends and they couldn't give him a satisfactory explanation. And he turned to God. He said, God, we need to talk. Job chapter 38, the Bible says God came. Don't turn there. The entire text of 38 was a discussion between Job and God. God, come and give me an explanation as to why I'm a man who feared you and eschewed evil. And yet my life, I mean, things just went haywire in my life. And God respected the call and he came. Because when we call, he comes. Jeremiah 33 and verse 3. Call unto me. Not just desire that I come. Call unto me and I will answer. I will show you great and mighty things that you do not know. Are we blessed? So I've given you a few reasons why we pray.
It is a command, it is a strategy for fellowship, a platform for growth and transformation, a platform for warfare and intercession,
a strategy to keep your faith alive, and finally a platform to make requests and petitions. While you are seated, before I just touch on another subject quickly, I want you to pray and say, Lord, whatever has destroyed my prayer life, it's time for it to die on this last day. Please, someone is praying seriously. Now you know that an attack on your prayer life is a real attack. No matter what Satan attacks in your life, if your prayer life is still alive, then you are still strong. Please pray, young and old, pray together. God is changing our lives now.
Fresh fire upon my prayer life.
I will never be the same. I've touched your grace. My life must change. I will never be the same. I've touched your grace. My life must change. I will never be the same. I've touched your grace. My life must change.
Pray.
I will never be the same. I've touched your grace. My life must change.
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 We will.
Your grace, our lives must change. We will never be the same. We've touched your grace, our lives must change.
Amen. Please listen to me. A final thought on prayer and we're done. Please listen. Nobody prays effectively if you do not build a system that makes for efficiency. You will never pray consistently, randomly. You will have to intentionally look at your life and program a system. It requires discipline to remain prayerful. Are we together now? Yes. I give you an instance. Let's assume that this brother is, for instance, a 100-level student or in secondary school or a 100-level student in UNILAG. No matter how busy he or she is, there will still be some time to pray. Now, when this brother uses the same template of his prayer life 10 years ago, now that he's working, maybe he's on two jobs, married with a wife and has three children, the responsibilities that come with that realm of living cannot allow that you use your former template of prayer. This man can, the university can go on break and he can use that time to catch up. But now the job that he's doing may hardly give him a leave. So you will need to redesign a system intentionally. There are people, because of their lifestyles, they may not be able to pray effectively in the morning. There's no point telling that lie. You can just thank God and celebrate Him while you are taking a shower very quickly. But your advantage based on your lifetime will be the nighttime. So you will have to obtain grace to conquer slumber so that you will catch up. For other people, because of the nature of their job, from morning till afternoon they are free. They can have quality time. Other people have jobs that are 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off. And you can redesign your life.
We have to be honest about our prayer life. Randomly believing you pray anyhow, anytime, you will never be consistent that way. Praise the Lord. It is important. Same thing goes for Bible study. There are people who have to wake up by 5 every day because of the nature of their job. And you've not been promoted to a rank that affords you the opportunity to come late. You're not going to use your spiritual life as an excuse for inefficiency at the place of work. So it is you have to work with the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of wisdom to redesign a strategy. For some people, weekdays, they may not have the time to be efficient, but weekends are a real advantage. Instead of traveling around, going to a cinema house, and remember that we are transient, we are growing. And someday we'll have the liberty to be able. That's why poverty is bad. Have you seen some of the dangers of poverty? Because it eats up your time. When we trust God for the blessing, it's not because we are carnal. It is because it can free you up some space so that you can decide to lock yourself and say, as for me and my house, today we are seeking the face of God. And you can pay the price, financially speaking, for remaining with God. In the name of Jesus, may poverty and hardship be far from everybody's life. Most people do not know what poverty does. Even those who talk a lot about money, it's just an obsession from a standpoint of lust. Poverty is a dangerous weapon in the hand of Satan. It can not only distract your spiritual life, it can eat up your time so you don't have any other thing again. The little time you have to seek God, that time will be eaten up by the time you receive the PTA letter. And you look at it as though it was a death sentence. You look at the PTA letter and the school fees has been multiplied times 2. And you're now wondering, where will I get an extra job? The night time that you would have now used for God must be used in outsourcing other resources. That's why the saints must be blessed. It is not to show up. The agenda is bigger than that. I made up my mind as a person that I will never, never serve money in my life. I will serve His Majesty, and the resources that come from the wisdom of this system will serve me. Praise the Lord. Are we together? Is God blessing us already? So you must make sure an attack on your prayer life is a real attack. Families must pray. You know, nowadays, and I'm saying it respectfully, most family meetings, you know, prayer, altar, or how you call it, most times it happens when there are emergencies, when there's a quarrel to settle corporately, when there's something to discuss, when, you know, all of that. But it ought not to be so. We must pray. We must pray. We must pray. We must pray. We must trust God for grace to pray. And when you are praying, let me advise, as much as God grants you grace, carry this thing away from you when you are praying. This is a blessing, but this can also be used by demons. Praise the Lord. The Bible says the fervent and effectual prayer. It's not any prayer that creates effect. You have to put your heart in this thing. Not that you pray 2 minutes, you are quickly responding to an email, another 2 minutes, and you check, you mean this is the guy that won the boxing? My God, he didn't look like he was strong. You see, those things are not evil, but they are weights. The Bible says, seeing that we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside. Not everything is sinful, but there are things that are unnecessary luggages. Praise the Lord. When you are praying, you have to pray seriously. Because sometimes the devil will program people. Just when you pray, they want to watch a movie. And they say, please, can you borrow me your living room? Or borrow me somewhere. Let me just watch a film. There's a soap opera. I can't miss this part. The part I've been waiting for. See, some of those things, you can turn everywhere in your house to an altar. Your toilet can be an altar. As small as it is, you can lock yourself there. It's one of, you can pray there and say, Lord, while you are lifting me to have and build my own prayer room, you can use your bedroom. You can use your living room. Because I can be a madman to my father there. Lord, thank you. You can dance and celebrate him.
Please let our prayer lives come alive. Let's not pretend this thing. Let your prayer life come alive. If you must put an alarm to discipline yourself for a while, put it. Slumber can be a spirit. Sleep is a blessing, but slumber is a curse. There is a big difference. He giveth his beloved sleep. He doesn't give them slumber. Slumber is a way of eating time. It's a devourer. So the Bible says the keeper of Israel, even the sleep he gives, he doesn't sleep. Talk more of slumbering. And then, in addition to prayer, I believe, and this is my opinion and is supported from scripture, that every believer who loves God must trust God for grace to have moments where at least, this is my opinion, no matter how weak you are spiritually, at least every month, minimum standard, you must have a day to fast before God. Not just because there is an emergency. It's part of the spiritual build-up process. And that 1 month, I'm saying one per month, is assumed that you are a Christian who has made up your mind to not know God. If you're in ministry and you fast only once a month, I don't know what to say again. Africa has a unique expression of evil. A unique expression of evil that requires a heightened level of stamina to survive. It's the truth. There's no need lying to ourselves. A unique expression of evil. Hallelujah. We must pray and we must fast. I believe in prayer. I believe in fasting. When it is done with understanding, and it is done truthfully, it can provide the power that drives you. You see what will happen to this church after this moment of prayer. Suddenly, like an eagle, you will rise with new wings, testimonies, open doors. Listen, when it happens, don't just say glory be to God. We thank God, but you know what you did. It can be reproduced again and again and again. Hallelujah. Please lend me 5 minutes and let me just talk quickly on patterns. You see, Jeremiah chapter 6 verse 16. This is the little teaching that will control the results that we desire. And it's important I just express it and then we pray. Thus saith the Lord. It's projected so you can look up. Stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths, wherein is the good way, and walk therein. And ye shall find rest for your soul. But they said, we will not walk therein. Now, in the dealings of God with men, please look up. In the dealings of God with men, God is a God of systems. And God is a God of patterns. When you study scripture, God does not do anything the same way twice. When he does a thing once, he creates a pattern around it. Are we together? God made man, Adam, brought Eve out of Adam, and created a system of continuity called reproduction in both plants and animals. That now becomes the authorized pattern for continuity. Are we together? Even an armed robber can have a child. Even an unbeliever cursing God can still be pregnant and have a child because they have adhered to the pattern allocated. It is true for plants. It is true for animals. Are we together now? Yes. The first time God breathed upon man, he never had to do it again except to release the Holy Spirit. Now he created a system called respiration. It's a pattern. If you are interested in being alive, then you take advantage of that provision and you continue to breathe. Are we together now? Every result that we desire in the kingdom has a spiritual pattern that is built around it. Please understand this. Many times our desire for an encounter with God is not necessarily to provide results. It's supposed to be for our spiritual growth. I say this because by the grace of God, I understand encounters. And I see that we are making a mistake. We think encounters with God is the secret to everything. You can meet with God and still be poor.
You can meet with God and still be broke. You can meet with God and still be mediocre in life. Meeting with God is not the key to from out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 1. Please give it to us. It shall come to pass, the Bible says, if thou shalt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. Verse 2 says, and all these blessings will come upon you and overtake you. It is very, very important. There are principles that have been allocated that if the saints follow, at the back of those principles are God's own power and his integrity upon it. There is a spiritual pattern allocated for the blessings and the wealth of the believer in Christ. There is a pattern you follow, you become wealthy, but not in Christ. There is a pattern you follow that you become blessed, even as your soul prospers. There is a pattern you follow, you become blessed, but at the detriment of your soul. Are we together? There is a spiritual pattern allocated to make marriage work. There are requirements and provisions that God gives a man and gives a woman. And within the confines of those boundaries, he ensures and places his integrity that if followed diligently, that home will become a heaven. There are spiritual patterns allocated by which an ordinary person can rise to become a global influence. It is not guesswork. It's happened in scripture. Joash was a king at age 8. Josiah was a king at age 9. There are many people who became champions in their generation. They followed these patterns. Now, every request here, please look at me. Every request here, over 90% of the requests here are not just in need of the face of God. They are in need of an understanding of the pattern allocated for their result. Are we together now? Yes. When it has to do with kingdom, wealth, and prosperity, there is a pattern. We must understand God's allocation to make this happen. Now, most times is that believers are not diligent enough to study the whole counsel of God concerning a matter. We can study half, and so we have half truth. An example of this kind of imbalance is in the subject of prosperity. Preachers have studied half of the truth. Businessmen have studied half of the truth. Prophets have studied half of the truth. So everybody comes with his dimensions, and we claim that is the whole counsel. So there are all kinds of financial vacillations. Today we are up by listening to a pastor, then we go down later. Tomorrow we are up by listening to a businessman, then we go down later. It is the whole counsel of God that reveals the stability of his blessings transgenerationally. Are we blessed? There is a pattern that is responsible for long life, longevity. You're not just going to study one scripture and say, in the name of Jesus, I will live long. You have to explore the whole counsel of God concerning that matter. There is the counsel of God and the pattern allocated for restoration. In the Bible, and like I said, we read yesterday, things can be restored. Time can be restored, but there is a pattern. So someone can get, let's assume again, let me use you, sir. Let's assume this, my dear brother, let's assume that his life had been set back because of several things. And now say, for instance, he is 40 years, and the achievement that he should have even while he was 20, he does not have it. There is a provision in the economy of God where his 1 year, God can take the 20 years wasted and put in 1 year. But you must know, listen. It is not enough to know the possibility. You must know the pathway that makes it an experience. I will restore the years. You can believe it, but never have that years restored. Now, someone will settle down and understand that this and this and this are the steps, and engage it. And in 1 year, someone will give this man 3 houses. In 1 year, give him 2 cars. In 1 year, his wife will have 3 blessed. That's 9 years compressed. Now watch this.
The man is saying amen to everything I'm saying. I like you, my brother. We're at the times when you say amen to every good thing. Bible says, do not say before an angel, I made a mistake.
Now, are we together now? In 1 year, someone can just look at him and say, I've been looking for 5 people to bless. Occasionally, our corporation gives back to society. And for some reason, you have been on our minds. It's not true. It's God that puts the memory of people in the hearts of people. Nobody remembers you just like that. This world is too wicked for a single individual to be isolated and blessed. It takes God to bring that. There is a book of remembrance. Don't forget. Now, this gentleman, by October, he no longer can stand to testify. In 10 months, God took 20 years. That's how he restores. But another person can say, but we received the same prophecy. It is not enough to know what God can do. It is important for you to know how he does it. Hallelujah. So we must thank you. We must understand spiritual patterns. How does God lift? How does God bless? How does God restore? How does God exempt? How does God promote? How does God preserve? There has to be a pattern. Let me submit to you, therefore, as a family of faith and as believers, let me encourage you. First, pay attention to the teachings and the instructions that come from pastor. Because the Bible says, I will give you pastors after my heart. All the truths that are being communicated upon this altar contain nuggets of spiritual truth, like maps that lead us from our desires to the experience of the things that we want. In addition to it, we must trust God this year to become like spiritual archaeologists. Isolate an area of your life where there is no result and begin to explore the length and breadth of spiritual truth that is allocated for that. Insist until you find the key. Insist in prayer, in fasting. For instance, you can take this issue of disfavor and take it personal this year. Lord, I cannot understand why my life is full of bad luck. Every bad thing waits till I come there before it happens. This must change. Now you study from scripture. You buy books on favor. You listen to messages on favor. And then follow them who through faith and patience have a proven track record on that wise. And you isolate these things and deal with it. And the spirit of wisdom comes upon you. The Bible says through desire, Proverbs 18 verse 1. Through desire, it says, a man having separated himself, the Bible says he seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. You will need to settle down and find out. Lord, I cannot be in Lagos. And for 20 years, I don't have a single land. There is no single job. Whereas there are people becoming blessed every day. It means there is a dimension of favor that I'm yet to understand. And I take responsibility. In the name of Jesus, open my eyes. And you pray, you go to a bookstore, you buy these books, and settle down, you listen to a message. My son, get me every message on favor you can find. And you bring it and you settle down. Let me tell you, your life will break forth. Once you settle down, you invite the spirit of revelation. One night, you may just be sleeping and the key comes for you. This is it. And once you find it, they are life to those who find them. That means when you find these things, there is proof. Anything you claim you know that there is no proof for, you have not gotten it as a revelation. Is God speaking to us? So, spiritual patterns. I'm going to pray on the request and we're all going to stand and pray and then the anointing service. But it is important for us to know that God is not a magician. He is not only a miracle worker. The greatest way to walk with God is to walk following his principles. It brings predictability to our Christian experience. Miracles are a proof that something went wrong. And the mercy of God is coming to correct that constraint. We were never designed to live off miracles. Miracles are a proof of God's system to help us so that now when the problem is solved, we can get back to the pattern that creates consistency. Hallelujah. You will never be the same. You've touched these grace. Your life must change.